Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, Zed heads! Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm Chris.
And we got a few other people here with us. Say hello, everybody. Woo! It's our first and probably last live podcast. This is the Walking Dead cast, episode 493. This episode, we're covering the Walking Dead series finale. Rest in peace. No big deal. I want to say again, you know, now that we're actually on the podcast, thank you so much for coming out, you guys. There's people from all over the country and all over the world here, and it's just been a freaking blast this weekend, and we love you guys, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, what did you think? What did you think, Karen? So Karen hasn't been watching in a while, and we don't care, right? We just want Karen. We just love it that Karen's here.
Karen.
But I hear you did get kind of some cliff notes recently, a refresher.
We did. Lucy and Peter and David and me, we sat in my living room a couple days ago, and we watched the last episode, and I think I jumped off in season 10?
Yeah, season
10. Yeah. So I jumped off in season 10, and it turns out that thanks to Lucy and Peter, I was able to kind of follow along with what happened tonight, and it made it all the more heartbreaking. So thanks.
Was any of it like just really confusing?
No. No, nothing was really confusing.
It was pretty straightforward.
It seemed pretty straightforward. Yeah. There was a lot of heartbreak and a lot of sweet moments. So it had everything. It basically had the entire series in one episode.
Yes.
Do you love Negan now?
No, I got to say, I'm still Steven Yeun forever. And woo! I'm with Maggie. I'm on Team Maggie. I'll try not to carry around the hate in my heart, but in the end, I'm not going to, you know, there's going to be some days when I work with Negan and I just can't look at him.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. I'm glad he apologized. It did make a difference to me. It took way too fucking long, but he did do it, and it seemed pretty heartfelt. It took for him to be put in the same kind of position that he put other people in for him to realize, which, God, you should really realize that before you have to get put in that kind of a position. But he did it. So I got to give him that, right? What do you think? What do you think about all this?
Okay, so I'm going to say three things. One, Rick looks well. Like, he's doing well, yeah, right? Yeah. He looks like his life is going exactly how he planned. two and three, today I wore eye makeup and I'm drinking. Two things I don't usually do, and I'm regretting both of them, but here we are. I cried for like the first 20 minutes of that whole thing, and yeah, a lot. And on the Negan front, yeah, the apology, it worked. And I thought Lauren Cohen, that was one of her best scenes when she responded to him there. I thought she was fan-fucking-tastic. So, sorry, there's kids here. Fantastic.
Chris?
I mean, my palms were sweaty at times. I cried. My heart was pounding. My watch thought I was exercising. Yeah. Like, I think I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was so emotional, and it's not clear to me how much of that is because we're all here watching it together. I think that probably added another couple of levels of intensity to it, right? But I pretty much think it was a very good episode, right?
Hands up if you cried at any point. Like, everybody in the audience. Like, hands up. Yeah. Come on.
No. I famously have a very hard heart. You know, another thing that also I think made it great is that you somehow got a copy of this that didn't have commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got to see it all the way through.
Yeah.
That made it really intense. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very good. I didn't love the little arrow at the top corner of the screen. Sorry about that. But
I'm like just glad you turned your notifications off. I was really worried about that.
So for a series finale, would you call it satisfying?
Yeah, I'd say so. I say they pulled it off. The first 5 minutes were really hard for me on a personal level. Not only did they kill Luke, they did it in, I think that was one of the worst deaths I've seen on the show in a long time.
Worst/best, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Worst, but amazing. But yeah, and like Father Gabriel let the people in this time, like so many full circle moments. Yes.
He wasn't going to be the one to hold them out this time.
No, so just, very satisfying, and I've got a lot to think about and feel, but the emotions are high. Yeah.
And I mean, I've been podcasting about the show, you know, since it started 12 years ago. Chris started 7 years before that, so
yeah, it's been a while, but like everybody cried. Sometimes happy tears, sometimes sad tears, sometimes angry tears. Probably like it had all the emotions. There was a lot going on there.
And you put so much of your time and energy into this. Do you feel like, okay, that was a good capper? It seems like you do, right?
I do. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if at this moment in time I can be completely objective about it, right? Yeah. Watching it here.
But the 1 year later thing was nice. And before I gave up on Ezekiel, which I'm feeling kind of bad about now. I was saying he would be a great leader, and then I was like, no, he's going to die. But I'm glad that that happened. It felt like a good capper for him anyway.
And it shows how far the show has come, that the two leaders at the end are two powerful men of color just bossing it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and they're men too. That's so cool.
Oh.
Who knew they could actually do it? So yeah, Luke and Jules, that was pretty freaking rough. It was quite a death. If you're gonna go out on a show, pretty awesome to go out like that.
I did think they were gonna make him play the harmonica though.
I thought so too.
Yeah. I was like sobbing, and then I was like, "Oh, don't do that." That's
like they're shoving that thing in his face, and I was waiting for him to go, "What? What the heck? Like, thanks."
Play yourself off, Luke.
I did too. It's funny how, different things happen and you think about different people who've, like, I'm sure people thought of me when Negan apologized, right? the zombie makeup crew, I mean, I feel like they really went all out with this one, especially that one variant that had the rock that busted into the So great. And the zombie stuff, like, I've been kind of critical about this show where it seems like just run the other way and you'll be fine. But when they're in close quarters and there's a lot of them, then it feels scary. And I thought this whole episode, I mean, it was a little ridiculous at the gate when the zombies are coming for like 10 minutes and like, open the gate. Come on, open the gate.
Do you still do Zombie Kill of the Week?
No, we haven't done that in a while. Let's do it now.
What's your zombie kill of the week?
I mean, giant gas explosion.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be the best zombie kill of the week ever.
Yeah. I know, because I was watching, and it was cool, but I could feel Chris just being like, oh, my God. That was pretty awesome.
I will say, it felt like they got a lot done really quickly, the team, for lack of a better word, but it was pretty satisfying to watch them all explode and go up in flames.
I have a vote for Zombie of the Week.
What's your Zombie of the Week?
And we all know who that is. Let's move on to the next.
Oh, yeah. He was loving it. Josh Hamilton was having a blast. I love that. Love it. Happy days.
We talked about that, too.
We did. Yeah, we thought that might happen. And
I don't know if I believe Pamela going up and giving herself up to him. What the hell?
I think that was a callback to the comic.
With Carol.
Yeah, I think that was a callback.
But did it make sense for Pamela's character?
I mean, she's a bit of a diva. Like, oh, take me. I'm too posh to die. Like, you know?
She didn't want to go to prison.
If I can't be at the top of the food chain, then I'm just going to be eaten.
She's going to be redeemed in prison, right?
Well, it was interesting that Negan was like, oh, yeah, this is a punishment worse than death, because that's what he had to undergo, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
And Maggie was like, yeah, ask Glenn. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, that's the last I'll say. It's the last I'll say. I'm done.
What about what was like the for me the hardest thing, of course, was Rosita and being bitten and the way she was so calm about it and knowing that she's gonna, you know, little Coco's gonna lose her mama. That was rough. And then all those it was a bit of the comic book Andrea.
Yes, right? Definitely. I was thinking about Andrea but that moment, I've never felt so glad to be in a room of Zeds, that moment where she burst back up.
Yeah.
Holy shirt balls, that was amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing. And then it was very moving, or I don't know, sad, but it was dramatically great that she actually got bitten. I mean, I don't want to see her go.
No.
But it was good storytelling. What I'm trying to say. Very, very sad. I've liked her character more and more as the series has gone along.
Before, did anybody call out Rosita when Jason asked who's going to die?
No. Oh,
Veronica.
Okay.
Yeah.
One, two, maybe.
You
but
know, we were saying, because Rosita and Gabriel have had some moments lately, that one of them's going to be gone. But we thought it would be Gabriel.
Everyone thought it would be Gabriel.
They teased Gabriel's comic book death when he was climbing up the pole.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
yeah,
no!
That's right,
too. Yeah.
But yeah.
It was a tease, though.
We got a time jump.
Yeah.
Yep. I was happy for the time jump. I like a time jump.
Yep. Jerry lived.
Jerry lived.
Yes. I say good on the show for that. Nobody really saw Rosita coming. They let Jerry live. Yep. It was a surprise, I think, for most of us.
What else? Yeah, Zombie Lance, that was pretty great. What about the cult of personality with the zombies kind of growling along with it? That's so fun. I love it.
The music in this episode was amazing.
Landslide as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. And they had the dinner that Rick dreamed about in season 7, which was
awesome.
That's
right. That's right.
Finally happened.
Yeah, and it's cool that it's coming up on Thanksgiving for us. It just made me think of Thanksgiving dinner with the family and everything.
And the zombies outside.
That's what I hear about outside. American Thanksgiving. There's zombies, right?
Yeah.
Of course there's zombies.
We're thankful they're not inside.
Right.
And I
depends
think
on the family, maybe.
We'll do for the Patreon people, we'll do a call-in show where we say what we're thankful again this year. That's always fun. So we'll do that in the next few days or something like that. What about the Magma Yumiko?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Queer representation in the final episode. Yes. They deserve it. I love it.
And I love when they do a shorthand, like you think they're going to have a talk and they're like, nah. That's good. Anything that you guys were not happy with?
Not really. I mean, not off the top of my head in terms of an immediate reaction. I do think as we all kind of expected, a lot happened really quickly, and a lot of this could have been spread out over more episodes, but we knew that was the last one. And I think overall they did a pretty good job.
It didn't feel rushed to me, though.
They did take the odd moment to slow down, right, and have some conversations and stuff. It wasn't just all action all the time, which I sort of thought it might be going into it.
I'm so glad we got to see Rick, but I don't understand what the hell we watched.
No.
Right. I was going to say that. I was like, yeah, okay, good for him. I mean, buddy, like, wash. But also,
are he and Michonne writing to each other about their kids or something? I don't.
They've both, like, just taken up hardcore journaling. Like, I'm just like, it's not really. And then when it cut to Judith and RG, these, like, abandoned kids on the fence, I was a bit like, I'm not really rooting for you guys.
And then Daryl leaves Judith. I'm like, God, everybody leaves. With Carol, right? Is that what he said? With Aunt Carol?
Yeah. And where's Daryl going?
I didn't understand that either.
France,
yeah.
On his motorcycle.
That's right, on the motorcycle.
Is there a bridge now?
Yeah, where's he going?
I don't know. Do you think... So supposedly he ends up in France, at France, but... Were the Daryl and Carol scenes pickups?
Yeah, they must have been.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. I felt that the Melissa McBride, Norman Reedus really sold that goodbye with the two of them, so that felt earned.
They said they loved each other.
Yeah.
But I didn't really understand. Does anybody know where Daryl was going? Like, Maggie said something about we need to explore, so go explore Daryl. Was that the idea?
Yeah.
Space.
In the comics, can we talk comics now that the show is done? In the comics, they're expanding more westward. Like, they're putting the railroad out west, and there are... like frontiersmen, like Lydia's kind of a frontiersman. Actually, I like that they kept Lydia and Elijah as the messengers between communities because that happens in the comics. But yeah, they're expanding and they have kind of frontiersmen. But
Hawaii?
I don't know if that's what Daryl was doing. Yeah, Hawaii, San Francisco. Yeah, so I think that was maybe an allusion to that. But how he ends up in France, I don't know.
Yeah. And 1 year later, he's still just kind of flirting with Connie.
Oh my God. Just kiss.
Oh, well.
Did you think that Rick was going to wake up and be back in the hospital? It was all just a dream.
It was all just a dream. And Lori's there and Carl.
There was a moment where I was scared that was going to be Judith, where she was like looking at Rosita and her face was like all confused. And I was like, oh my God, is Judith going to wake up in the hospital and be like, ah, no, everyone's dead. But then it didn't happen. So that was good. It just seemed like it was going too well. But it was just nice.
So sweet that Eugene has a little baby now.
Called Rosie. Yeah. Rosie the baby.
Cute little kid. Of course.
Time to cut off that braid, though.
And... I'm just kind of going through my notes. I did see Rick had a CRM jacket and also one of those tools that they use that they shove into the zombie heads and just blow them up, you know? So, you know, he's still... But it's like, Michonne's like, we tried to get back to you or we tried to find you. I'm like, you know where they live.
Yeah. Also, like, Michonne seemed to still be wearing her outfit from Wakanda Forever, which I was a bit confused about. I was like, did she just, like, do a pickup while she was filming that? I don't know. Like, but good for her. She looked hot, but also weird.
Lucy, it looked cool. It looked cool. I thought so.
Well, does anybody else want to come up and say what their favorite part was or say anything else about it? I don't see anybody running up here.
Yeah.
Is there anything else... Okay, good. We got one here.
Say your name.
My name is Evan Wright.
Evan.
What do you want to say, Evan?
Well, I just want to say that my favorite part was probably the huge oil explosion.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Very cool part. Very cool part.
Yeah, totally.
They said they were saving all their money for the, you know, they only get a certain amount of money to make this show every season. They saved a lot of it probably for that shot.
Totally.
Anybody else? Steve.
I was told I had to say something, but okay, so the biggest question for me is, what's with the Rick diehard moment with the bare feet? What was the reason for that?
I don't know.
Like,
he stepped on a zombie head.
Exactly.
Yeah, be careful.
But no, I loved it. I thought it was great, and I can't wait to record my thoughts as I go in the next watching of it. So
I'm sure you were thinking about what you would have been saying if you were live streaming, right?
Yeah, somebody beat me to the mic drop for the Walking Dead line from Daryl,
right.
And then the scene was way too emotional for me to shout out mic drop when Gabriel said rest in peace.
I know. I thought about it and I'm like, nah, that's not funny.
But I did get my mama bear moment when Rosita broke into the room and killed all those Zeds that were holding the babies. I got my mama bear moment, so that was good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That was awesome.
I mean, we could watch it again and have Steve live Steve it. Right?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Lucy and I are going to do our usual.
Oh, we have another.
Oh, yeah. More people.
Get
Sweet.
Over here.
Come on over.
Yeah, there's a lineup. Yeah,
come on. Rinaldi. There you go.
That's a good segue, a lineup joke. Because I'm Rinaldi. I'm from Boston.
Austin.
Yeah. It's surreal because the previous feedback episode, I sent an email about Negan not really showing real remorse. And ironically, even though me and Jason argued on Facebook about Negan, he agreed with me about Negan not really showing real remorse. And so the fact that he actually did it in this final episode was my favorite part, and the fact that he and Maggie had an adult conversation about it. Because sometimes, like on other shows, it's just like Maggie's like, oh my gosh, like, let's hug. And it's like, no, let's have a mature conversation.
It makes sense to me that even if as Maggie, she recognizes, yes, he's sorry and he's a different person now and he's saved people I care about, including my own son, I still don't want to be around you because I see you killing my husband and mocking him and everything. So, yeah, it really made a lot of sense. It's a complex kind of a situation.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm from San Jose, California. San Jose local. So I saw a total fake out that I'm hoping you guys notice as well. I totally thought... Daryl blocking off Judith's hospital room. Anyone think of Shane with Rick? I was like, she's going to wake up like 6 months later and we're going to do a time jump. But then they're like, oh no, never mind. We're just going to run away from the zombies. So, but I like the little callback. You know, those of us who have been watching for a long time noticed that moment. But then they didn't really do that.
It's
and they did something else. So that was really, really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't notice that, but I like it. Next.
Hi, Helen from England. But living in Scotland. I just want to say, holy fuck, I can't believe, sorry kids, I'm here. And I've just watched this in San Francisco. I was really moved by Daryl asking for possibly the first time ever help. And he said, help me. When he had Judith. So for the sake of the child, the man asked for help. That's it.
Yeah.
Love him. Bye.
Hold on one sec. Who was it? Somebody who, I think it was a couple of friends over here saying they, you know, a lot of people dropped off of The Walking Dead earlier and, you know, we're the hardcore ones that are left. But I think for a while there, Daryl wasn't great. He was okay. I mean, maybe some of you don't agree. He was always great. But in season 7 and 8, I mean, for one thing, he barely said anything, you know. And so now when Angela Kang came back, she gave him more to do and just made him a better character. And I like him a lot more now. So it's great to see him being a dad and everything. It's awesome.
So much better. And he never felt more like a parent, I think, in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is amazing
blood.
For Daryl.
I hate blood stuff like that, though.
that's your line. That is your line, is blood transfusion. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, I don't like vampires. No.
Be careful, Nico and Bodhi.
Right.
I'll do it. I just don't like it.
Right.
All right.
Hi.
Hello, Archmaester Rennie from the Citadel in Westeros. Visiting the Walking Dead universe. I wanted to ask you all what you think about the fact that they brought up the variant zombies. And then we have just a 1 year time jump, and it seems like there's no more humans fighting with each other, but there also doesn't seem to be much of a zombie threat either. Yeah. And in the comics, there's a 10-year, I think it is, time jump, and the zombies have all just kind of rotted away and aren't really a threat anymore. But it seems like in this last season, the show has brought up this much greater threat with the variant zombies. And then they seem to have blown up all the variants in the posh neighborhood of the Commonwealth. So I was interested in your thoughts about that.
I think the variants are strictly an introduction for the upcoming shows. You know, they introduced them here a little bit. And of course, at the end,
it added more tension at the end, too.
It did, for sure. I'm not surprised, though, that they were just they just touched on them in this show. And that it didn't even come up after the 1 year time jump. I think it's all for what's to come still.
I don't think the zombies aren't a problem anymore. I just think they wanted to show some nice moments at the end, and I'm glad. And
that's right.
It's the Commonwealth, so they have good defenses, you know? So I think they took care of all the ones that Pamela had accidentally let in, and maybe they like made the walls less climbable or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I wanted to see an epilogue type of thing at the end here, and that's what we got. And I'm sure the zombies are still a threat, but that's just not what that last part was about. That's what I think.
We did see a couple of zombie kills after the time jump. When they were Daryl went by one, and maybe Michonne also
sliced one.
Yeah. So I mean, the zombies are still around. They're still kind of slowly lurching around and dumb,
grabbing rocks.
One of the things I think it's like a good question, but one of the things I've liked about the variants is like there aren't that many of them, but they can still make a huge difference. It only takes one zombie to make a difference.
So inspiring.
So inspiring. So I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. It's a good question, Rennie. It's a good question. I think they were showing their Insta highlights reel, though. They were like, look how great everything is, rather than like the ongoing suffering of living in the post-apocalypse.
It's not the real truth.
Alma.
Alma, I'm from Sacramento. Woo! Well, I was just wondering, did you guys think when they showed Rick, I was thinking it looked like New York in the background? And I can't remember if the CRM was in New York. I think they were in New York.
I think we were thinking Philadelphia for...
Oh, okay. That's where I was a little confused.
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they showed a poster with the Philadelphia skyline back when they were doing the movies. Mm-hmm. But that's all done now, so who knows, right?
And then, of course, Michonne, I was really confused because, you know, she's going to the Horde. And I'm like, where is she? Can they just let us know where they are? Because, I guess we'll find out in the spinoff. But,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Did anybody recognize that skyline? Was it Philadelphia?
It was New York.
Okay.
It was
New York.
Okay. Nathan?
Come on up.
Nathan! Hi, I'm Nathan from Illinois.
Nathan!
Super nervous. I like when Ezekiel said that even though he said we're all family, even though not by blood.
Yeah.
And it felt like a feel-good moment. Like it feels like a parallel to the way a lot of people in this room feel about each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought that was nice, and I'm really happy to be here with everyone.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah,
That's beautiful, man.
I don't really think they had that in mind when they started The Walking Dead, but it's so interesting that it makes sense. You're in the zombie apocalypse. You kind of have to find who you're with. I mean, maybe not even chosen. You're just thrown together with people and you got to make it work. But then the community of The Walking Dead has become that too. And the writers, I think, know that. And they're like, oh, it's so great that it can parallel.
I really appreciated the message to the fans. Usually I find that cheesy, but I really appreciated it. Probably because I'm here with everyone, but that was nice. It was heartfelt. Well, that was a good way to end.
Let me ask you all, what about The Walking Dead was different? So, I mean, what about The Walking Dead was made it the kind of show that brought about this kind of community?
You too. Jason and Karen.
Yeah.
I'm Chris and Jason.
I mean,
Lucy too.
I'm very flattered to hear that. And if you go on Twitter, you'll see hashtag TWD family. And they don't, a lot of them don't know about either of our podcasts. They just, it's bigger than us. Yeah.
Sincerely, what about The Walking Dead really makes it like this?
Because it plays to our need to like want to survive together, and also our bloodlust and wanting to see gore. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I just like people who kill zombies. I think it's weird to talk about now after 2020, because I think a lot of it was about fascination with like what happens after everything at the end of the world. And now we're like, well, we know it's just toilet paper and Zoom calls with your family. It sucks.
I also think Walker Stalker Con has a lot of credit for that too. Yeah. All the conventions, but for Walking Dead in particular, Walker Stalker Con and James, the controversial figure that he is, has something to do with that too.
He's here tonight.
He's here tonight. He's not here.
It boils the world down to what's really important. It makes you remember that everybody else is gone except your family, the people you love, and you are going to try to protect them and survive with them. That's why it, I think, one of the reasons it becomes such a family.
Yeah, well said.
Thanks.
I agree with that.
We all know you're well-spoken. Right. That hasn't come up in a while. Overcoming differences to work together. That too. That's
for sure.
Right. Yes.
Come up here so we can get on the podcast.
Get on the mic.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Spencer, and I'm from Jason's hometown, so we grew up together.
Modesto,
if anybody knows where that is.
Nowhere.
Anyway, I like to remember it as George Lucas and every Gallo wine. But anyway, my question is, how many of you would like to see Jason take his glasses off and look serious? Because I don't know about the rest of you, but you look like Rick. Take a look, his eyes, they're like set. Awesome.
Take my glasses off.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to.
He's been doing it for so long.
I want to show you. Come here, Spencer. Wait a minute. Where is it? For some stuff and things. Oh, here we go. See, here's my Halloween costume. I don't know if you guys can see, but I was Rick for Halloween.
Let's see.
A few.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2014. Yeah. It's hard to see. I wish I could project it on the screen. Thank you. I'll post it somewhere.
That's a big compliment. Yeah, you do a pretty convincing Rick Grimes.
Yeah, if I'm just still and not saying anything, maybe. And then as soon as I start talking, it's like, nah.
Yep.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, except, can you yell out, Carl? Give me one, Carl.
Carl!
There you go.
All right, well, that's a great segue because we're going to move on to some fun stuff now. I thought I'd play through some of the old sound clips that we like to play a lot on the podcast. We haven't done as much lately. Here's one of the famous ones, and it's I'm going to play a little bit more than we usually do just so you can hear kind of the origin of it. So like I said, we got tons of emails this week, and so I really pared them down. There's still a whole bunch. I couldn't include them all, and so if yours didn't make it, sorry. Probably it's because someone else said something similar, but try again next week. So let's go.
Okay. Wow. You gave me this one because you.
What? It's from Kevin.
From Kevin. Kevin writes, "Fucky fuck fuck fuck." Man, to the fuck. There did I do right? Nice.
Another sound clip. I thought that
Sorry,
was very
everybody.
Well said. And I said in their new sound clip, and then of course here's our sound clip.
Fucky fuck fuck fuck. Man, to the fuck.
Here's the classics that we always play.
Attention shoppers, Deadcast top 5 in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Here's our news bumper. I don't know if we'll be hearing this much more.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Deadcast news update.
My friend Rennie, not Rennie here, but a different Rennie, put that together for us. He's really good with audio, and man, it's just been a classic. Here's what we play for, you know, listener feedback. The one saying brains is sitting right there. That's my friend Eric.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nicely done.
Yep.
Well done.
Here's one I took from an interview.
Doodlebug, go away home. Bah, 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 bah.
I love playing that. This is my ringtone.
Carl! 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 Carl!
I did a panel with Harold Perrineau of Lost one time, and I put together I cut that with it was like Carl Walt Carl Walt, but he doesn't know The Walking Dead, so he was like, "What the hell are you doing?" Here's a fun one from one of the listeners recently that I wish I would have found more places to play, but I guess it's with the show it never applies.
Like super. Freaking boring. I'm talking boring.
Here's one I have gotten to play a little bit recently, and I always love whenever I get a chance to play this when somebody gets what they deserve. Here's one of my favorite characters that no one else likes.
Rhetorical, okay?
I saw this, and I have no idea what it's from, but it's just called Moo Rar. What is it? I don't know where we've been podcasting for so long, I forget what we've done. Here's another favorite recent clip from the show.
See you later, asshole.
Here's when we had, you know, actors come on and do interviews, we'd ask them to do their zombie sounds. Tell me if you know who this is. Who knows that? Who that is? Andrew Lincoln, you win. Yep. That was before the zombie sound changed. Here's a good one from another favorite character.
Bullshit!
Simon!
I love when I get to play that one. And then this one I just had to play. It's a very recent call, and it's maybe my favorite call we've ever gotten. It's a couple minutes long, but it's worth it. Here goes.
One other thing I wanted to say is that you guys are better than me. Every week, you promise to put out an excellent show.
We never
and every week
that.
You deliver. And if you haven't been paying attention, you'll realize that for the last couple of weeks, I've promised an extensive zombie sound. And by not doing that, I'm just an unredeemable character. Well, actually, I do have this group of zombies right here. You know what? I think I can whip up something real special real quick. Hit it, guys. Myself. Maybe I can have hope for the future. Maybe I will go to San Francisco. What's that? A knock at my door? Maybe it's a driver all ready to pick me up.
Hello, Randy. It's me, Zombie Thomas.
Zombie Thomas?
Zombie Thomas.
The talking variant walker?
That's the one. I'm gonna devour you now.
Damn. I guess I won't be seeing you guys in San Francisco. Don't get bit.
Good.
Let's give it up for these guys. Come on. Thomas. Thomas, come over here and tell us how that happens.
Zombie Thomas.
Thomas, did you ever see Hamilton? There's a line in that where, like, you simply must meet Thomas, Thomas. And every time I hear Thomas, I'm like, Thomas, Thomas.
Yeah,
so,
I like
yeah,
that. Okay.
It's good to say that.
Yeah.
So you got. I thought, oh, they must be friends. I didn't know they were friends.
No, we totally didn't know each other until, like, 40 hours before that was played on air.
That's amazing.
He reached out to me, and I guess he was looking for me for a while because he was like, finally, Thomas, I found you after 30 Thomases. I found the right one. It was like almost midnight, and he was like, I know I have this big favor to ask. I don't know if you would ever want to do this. I was like, what? Hell yeah, let's go. So we just got on the phone and like had a good time. And you know, he wishes he was here, but you yeah. know, he was a little tasty, but
yeah, well, he's dead now. Well, thanks so much, man. That was so cool to get something like that right at the end here.
For
very
sure.
cool.
You appreciate it. Welcome.
Amazing.
That was awesome. I was going to do a whole prize thing, but I don't think so. No, I'm just kidding. We will do it. But I think we'll wait until after the podcast so I don't have to be holding a mic, and I'll just give out some prizes. So before we wrap, though, I want to do some thank yous. I want to thank Karen for starting all this with me and help me create the foundation that all this was built on. And I think the fun, respect, full vibe that you and I started continues to reverberate throughout everything we do and attract the best people like this, you know?
Aw, thanks, brother.
And thank you, Lucy, for stepping in and continuing this podcast with me and being so smart and funny and easy to talk to.
Thanks, man.
And Chris for starting the first Walking Dead podcast and being so friendly and working with me from the very beginning. We've done 10 wrap-up crossovers together, and then we became friends and did our own podcast, Evil Dead and Mandalorian. It's been great to know you, man.
Thanks, man. I feel exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. And we've got one more crossover to do.
That's right. We got one more left. And thanks to all the Podcastica hosts that helped build our network and put so much of themselves into it and made it what it is. Rima and Paik and David and Eric and Richard are here. And Daphne, Wendy, and Penny were supposed to be here. And, man, we miss those guys.
Yeah.
And then there's also Alex, Anwen, Ben, Derek, Kirk, Lizzie, Greg, Jade, Jamie, Jonathan, Kristen, Mark, Rennie, and Mr. Blog. Yay! Thanks to all those guys. I want to thank our Patreon group, affectionately known as the Zedheads, who've stayed connected with each other and been supportive with each other. And I never would have guessed it would turn out this way, but this may be the best thing about this whole podcasting thing is that how that group has been. Mm-hmm. And also to all you guys who came out here for this from literally all over the world, and quiet down, kids. And to listeners of the Walking Dead cast and the Talking Dead podcast. I mean, the best part about The Walking Dead for me is that it brought all of us together. And thanks to all the listeners who are the reason why we even do this. And to all of you guys who write and call in, but also everyone else who just enjoys listening. I mean, Karen and I modeled Walking Dead cast after the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack. We took a lot of the same stuff that they did and kind of tweaked it for our own. And I was a fan of that show for all the years it was on and never once wrote or called in. So that was me. And now I know a lot of you hearing me are the same, and we love all you guys.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah, to you guys who came out here from all over, Texas, Ohio, Arizona, the Philippines, England, Scotland, Australia, where? Canada, yeah.
Come on.
Canada, really? Just kidding. And I want to thank my wife, Jenny, and my kids, Nico and Bodhi, for putting up with my long hours of this stuff. It's not easy for those guys. I know it, and I appreciate you guys for letting me do it. And I think just because we can, I'd love to do a group zombie sound. So I'm going to count to three, and we'll go for it. Ready? One, two, three. Yes!
And I know I speak for everybody when we want to thank Jason, too, oh, for being the head of all of this. The head Zed head, right. Round of applause for Jason.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys. All right. Thank you. Nope, I don't. All right, so that is our live show, episode 493. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Lucy and I will be back in a week or so to cover the finale in our usual way. Then we'll do another feedback episode after that, and then it's on to The Last of Us, which I hope all you guys are going to be watching and listening.
All right.
This episode's made possible by everyone here, and also by Patreon supporters like Keir Hinson, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Keir. A lot of people here got to know each other because of the Patreon group. It's an amazing group. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Andrea Cook!
And everybody else.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.